The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Bernie, thank you very, very much. You are listening to The Hard Shoulder. Kieran Cuddihy with you until 7 o'clock this evening. Tom Dunn will be along a little bit later to talk about The Killers, about Taylor Swift and about an awful lot else in the world of music. We are also going to be chatting about making friends without the benefit of alcohol after 6:30. And Emmett will have all your business news. There might be mention there of politics in a business sense, because I believe the markets are responding to what has happened in France and the calling of a snap general election. We're going to kick things off with politics, not French politics, Irish politics. John Lee with me, executive editor with the Daily Mail. Stefan Muller as well is an assistant professor in the School of Politics and International Relations, UCD. You're both very, very welcome. John, we've had various people on the show so far this evening. We had Barry Andrews, all but certain to be re-elected at the European Parliament. And we had Eoin Ó'Brien with him as well, looking to put silver linings on the grey clouds of Sinn Féin's election victory.
Well, that's it. That's his job. I saw him cutting a very lonely figure down at the RDS, bravely taking interviews on behalf of the party. I think the tone has changed somewhat from Sinn Féin. As you so colourfully described it during our conversation there a few minutes ago, that window of candour has closed. But there were things said in the last 48 hours that they can't take back. And I just before we came in here, I looked for a few quotes by, you know, a relatively low profile but exceedingly respected TD, Claire Curran. And she, in Roscommon, and she was hugely critical of the party, which is not something you're used to hearing from Sinn Féin. But I've heard a lot of them and seen a lot of them today. And it's very, very hollow. Very shallow, the responses. We're listening to people, interviewers like yourself have asked them, well, what are they saying? And they're not answering the second part of the question. It's been a disastrous election. There's no other way of putting it. And particularly in contrast, and the reason it's so disastrous, to the hubris and complacency they've shown in the last 3 months. I wrote an article 2 weeks before the election where I pointed out 5 or 6 reasons why I thought they were going to do badly. I think their leader has performed very badly. I think any leader of an ordinary party, and we can discuss if you have the time, why I believe they're not an ordinary party, who had 3 election failures. And let's characterise her 2020 failure. She's the leader. She decides in candidate selection. They panicked after 2019. They had extraordinary votes and couldn't capitalise and probably cost them 10 seats because they didn't have enough candidates in the field in the 2020. That in itself is another form of failure. Not to predict some of the votes you were going to get. Any other leader who was responsible for that would be, certainly you would have publicly members of their parliamentary party calling for them to resign. And the questions will be asked. I might be a lone voice here. I wouldn't be surprised if leadership in the senior position, certainly in Sinn Féin, aren't shuffled a bit in the coming months. And I would not be shocked. I would not be shocked in the wake of Leo Varadkar so shockingly leaving his post that Mary Lou MacDonald may not lead them into the general election.
How would that manifest? Because we're used to how that manifests generally in another political party. As you say, Sinn Féin is a little bit different. It's either kind of the leader, someone like Leo Varadkar, might surprise everybody and step down. Usually it's a heave. It's a number of backbenchers coalesce around a minister or a front bench spokesperson and say, we're unhappy. There's a big competition internally. The leader loses the job. Is that what happens in Sinn Féin?
But so much has changed in national politics here and around the world. Politicians are younger. They're in that position for... And, you know, I respect Mary Lou MacDonald. I had a mutual friend with her who lived near her in Cabra, and he spoke very well of her family and the kind of person she was. She's a decent individual, but I think she looked to me during the general election as not being as energetic and as on top of things as she used to be. She had some very bad media outings. That is the kind of performance that Leo Varadkar was putting in just before he left. Politicians don't stay around as long as they do. There was no heave against Leo Varadkar. He just left. So But yes, there is a unique nature to Sinn Féin that they are, and this is not being facetious or unkind, they are the only bi-jurisdictional party we have. They have a party structure whereby Northern Ireland plays a role. Gerry Adams is still very active as an activist, as he calls himself. He appeared not so long ago in Mary Lou MacDonald's constituency and questions and answers with her. He'll be very involved in the elections in Northern Ireland. And there are people in Northern Ireland on the ruling executive of that party that will have input into the continued leadership of Mary Lou MacDonald or not. I would also say, such is the change in momentum and their struggle to deal with that since the catastrophic decision to table a motion of confidence, no confidence in Helen McEntee at Christmas, that it might be the only throw of the dice they have.
So, Eoin Óibrín, I mentioned, who was on the show earlier, he suggested that when you look at the patterns, the reason that Sinn Féin have performed so poorly relative to what they were hoping, I mean, their number of seats overall will increase slightly, but only slightly, and they were hoping for a much more significant increase, was down to turnout in working class areas. I don't even need to ask the question.
What Eoin Óibrín seemed to be saying, I listened in detail to that interview, is that there was a drop. There was actually 1% lower turnout in this election than generally we have. Local and Europeans are always around 50%. It's 49% so far in the locals. What he's basically saying is all the people who vote for us just didn't show up, but they're going to show up again. So no, if you average out the lower turnout, Sinn Féin had a very, very bad election. And they have, right now, I think only 15 more seats on the council. It's gone from 81. The presumption had been they would do far better. What they've said to me, senior people in the party, and they're politicians, and, you know, it'd be wrong to characterise them all as arrogant or complacent or any of that, because that is not the case. There's some very decent politicians, very good performers like Eoin Óibrín, who've been around a long time, have had a lot of election losses in the past. And I'm sure a lot of them would say, for instance, and it was discussed earlier in your programme, that when you asked them in the run-up to the election what their stance was on migration, your head came away and spinning, because you had no idea what they were talking about. At one point they were distributing leaflets up in Louth, which were saying that they didn't believe in open borders. The whole raison d'etre of the modern Sinn Féin is that there remains an open border in Ireland. So the one thing they have to do, and the leadership have to do, is pick a side, pick a point, and stick with it. Therefore, you're either anti-immigration or you're pro-immigration. You want border checks or you don't want border checks. That's a huge issue. And on a few other things, they have been unlucky. I think cost of living has, the electorate hate inflation and they hate paying more for what they're buying in the shops. And that has, if you trace the drop in their poll ratings, I think it's gone with the improvement in the cost of living crisis.
Well, listen, there was a lot of talk as well about Sinn Féin's descent from those highs of 30%+ in opinion polls as well over the weekend. And Micheál Martin actually spoke to Andrea Gilligan on Saturday about opinion polls and their accuracy. Take a listen.
From the Fianna Fáil perspective, if you were to believe all the polls and the commentators, we were going to come a distant third. But that, of course, is not the case. And I think it raises questions about, I won't go into it today, about the methodologies of some of these internet panel polling. Because, you know, for the last 2 years, I've listened to nothing but Sinn Féin or a shoo-in for government. Every journalist ring, every political correspondent at a press conference, that was the first question. And I think it's a real lesson to the commentariat. Stop presuming on the basis of these polls what the outcome will be, and focus more on the content and the substance of politics as opposed to who's up and who's down. And it really is, like, for me, for many, many years now, I've been putting up with this polling that has Fianna Fáil a distant third, and yet in every local election since 2014, we've been the largest political party in local authority government, and it's a straight shootout between Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael.
That was the Taoiseach and Micheál Martin speaking to Andrea John. I know you were in studio listening to it. Stefan Muller is on the line, assistant professor in the School of Politics and International Relations at UCD. Stefan, is he right? Should we scrap the polling?
Well, I wouldn't say we should scrap the polling because polling matters. It matters for voters, but it also matters for parties. I mean, parties also do private polls that never get published. So they must be interested in polls, otherwise they wouldn't do that. But I think what is important is that we are more clear about what polls do and what they can do and what they cannot do. So every opinion poll, as we all know, relies on a random sample of society. Usually that's around 1,000 people. And because we don't have all the voters, but only a sample, there is a so-called margin of error. And that's usually plus minus 3 percentage points. So party that stands at 23% could be in this poll between 20 and 26%. But what we often see is that then there's a focus on this single number rather than considering that there is uncertainty around that number. And I think if we communicate this uncertainty more clearly instead of looking at tiny changes of 1 or 2 percentage points, we get a better idea of what's going on in polls. I think we should also look at trends because the trends tell you if a party goes up and down. So combine several polls. And I agree that we should maybe talk a little bit or avoid this horse race coverage of small increases or decreases. Mm.
Are polls difficult as well to apply to local elections? Where and you see it here, lots of people texting in that their local election vote won't correspond with how they will vote in a general election because they're voting for the guy or the girl they know up the road, basically.
Absolutely, because local elections are different from general elections. Incumbency is much more important. It's important that the person is known, that the person is out there, that the person is active in the community. For general elections, that's not that important. What I actually did with a colleague was collecting all Irish opinion polls published since the mid-1980s. So you can imagine there was a lot of work going to newspaper archives and so on and so forth. But this allows us to aggregate opinion polls over almost 40 years now, and see how well they correspond to general election results and to local election results. So for general elections, actually, the polls are performing fairly well over that time. On average, if we use the aggregated poll of polls, we are around 1.3 percentage points away for each party from the actual first preference vote share, if we use those numbers that were most recent. Of course, because there's, as we know, there are ups and downs for political parties. For local elections, that's completely different. So I worked on this morning where I looked at all elections between 1991, or local elections, 1991 and 2024. And here, the average error for each party is, depending on the election, between 2 and 4 percentage points. So on average, we might be 3-4 percentage points off by each party. And one aspect where Micheál Martin is completely right is that polls often underestimate the local election results for Fianna Fáil. Why is that the case? Well, Fianna Fáil are really active on the ground for local elections. They also all tend to have a lot of councillors who are elected who are well known. And since so much depends on personality, it's not surprising at all that polls are not good in predicting local elections, because these polls are meant to predict general elections and not local elections.
All right. Well, John Lee, you'd be relieved. You don't have to scrap the polling just yet. There's a value in it. Let's talk about a general election. Is there any possibility it goes all the way, this government, to March next year?
I'm one of the few that thinks there's a very good chance of it.
Okay.
The call would be Simon Harris's, but he's not Emmanuel Macron. He's in very tight coalition that involves a rotating Taoiseach and a very powerful Taoiseach. The Taoiseach, Micheál Martin, is dead set against doing anything early. And Simon Harris, and you can only believe what he says in public, and those around him say that he wants to go and be in the White House next March. And the only way to ensure that is that he has a late general election. He could pop over for an hour to the White House on our new private jet and meet Joe Biden, or God forbid, Donald Trump, and come back. I think there's a danger of speaking to a senior Fianna Fáil strategist down at RDS today, and the fear in that person's eyes was palpable, and they said the danger is that there's going to be a stampede towards this that'll somehow drag along the leaders. again, I don't think that's likely. It may happen. It may happen. Simon Harris may decide overnight and try and convince Micheál Martin, let's go in October. It has to happen in October. Micheál Martin has said publicly that it's very, very difficult to get the finance bill through after the budget if they did that. But think about this. There's a very good reason, again. If Simon Harris and Micheál Martin go early, that means making a decision. And if that decision goes catastrophically wrong and Sinn Féin pull back a load of those votes that Eoin Óibrín thinks they will, they're to blame. They lose their jobs. It's all over. Whereas if they go all the way, no decision was made and we've gone to the legal deadline. I think it's highly possible if they can get there. Also, and lastly, you probably try to rush me along here now, but there was an expectation that Sinn Féin would table a series of motions of confidence in the government come the autumn to destabilise it and push it along. That's very unlikely now as well. I don't think Sinn Féin want a general election. They want to sort themselves out. So, listen, events might do it. Right now, I actually think they'll go all the way if they can.
John Lee, Executive Editor with the Daily Mail. Stephen Muller, Assistant Professor in the School of Politics and International Relations at UCD. Thank you both very, very much.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.